All right, guys, so it might actually be happening. TikTok could be banned in the US. We're gonna talk about it. Let's get into it. Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Amla Epinobi. We've got Taylor in Nashville.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
It is St. Patty's Day, and I'm not wearing green, guys. Although, you can't pinch me, or I will hashtag me to you. So, do not touch me. Taylor, where's your green? Is it your hat?
Yeah, this is the best I got today. I got Cam Haynes' bow hunting hat on.
It's close enough, and shout out to Cameron Haynes. Speaking of cams, we have Cam in the producer's bay.
What's up, guys?
Cam, where's your green?
It's on my pants.
Yeah, but he's not going to stand up and show you guys. It's not that type of show over here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a few different things today. TikTok possibly getting banned in the United States, talking about the different motivations for that. Fat Talk, which is a new section of TikTok that I've recently grown accustomed to, where obese people share what they eat in a day. So we're going to have a conversation about that. California moving to possibly ban certain candies due to chemicals and carcinogens that are used to make them. We're talking Skittles, Pez, things of that nature. Plus, is Walmart racist for the certain inventory that it chooses to protect from shoplifting? Also, is your pantry racist? Because pantry porn, according to New York Post, has been deemed to be rooted in racism and sexist behavior, says a Loyola professor. We're also going to be talking and hearing from a man who has decided to cut off his family and essentially not talk to his family anymore because they are GOP voters. His dad in particular, people bringing down the hammer on him and talking about family disagreements. Plus, Kamala Harris, there she is, gives a fun little post-game speech to the Howard men's basketball team, and it is now going viral for cringy reasons. So guys, let's talk TikTok. Here's the headline out of NPR. Biden administration demands that TikTok be sold or risk a nationwide ban. So TikTok has been circulating in conversation as far as being banned for quite some time now. The Trump administration tried to do it, was shot down by the courts. Now the Biden administration is taking a second crack at it, stating that they demand that the Chinese-owned TikTok be sold to, I guess, an American parent company. Or that the popular video app could face bans in the United States. The article goes on to say, whether federal officials have given TikTok a deadline to find a buyer remains unclear. Regardless, it is a major escalation by White House officials who have grown increasingly concerned about the safety of Americans' data on the app used by more than 100 million Americans. And apparently that's 100 million Americans who use TikTok for 90 minutes a day. It's kind of wild just to hear how often people are on the app. I am with those 100 million Americans. Taylor, Cam, are you guys with those 100 million Americans?
I'm on the app. I don't use it for 90 minutes a day. I can say that confidently. But are you up at 90 minutes?
I don't think I'm quite at 90 minutes. I would say I'm probably pretty close for how much I surf that app and use it, honestly. Cam? Not every day.
I don't know if I'm at 90 minutes anymore, but there was certainly a point where I was like well exceeding 90 minutes.
Yeah. When we were both on the TikTok come up, I used to see Cam all the time. This was before we were ever working at PragerU. I used to see Cam's videos because he had over a million on TikTok way before I was in the game. So I would see him all over my For You page, and then you got banned. So.
Yeah. We were like arguing with the same people.
Yes, we were constantly. Consciously.
Oh my God.
Anyways, the Cam and Amla lore goes way back. We'll get into that on a different day. But the Biden administration is pushing to possibly ban TikTok because they're concerned about a national security threat and the issue of the Chinese Communist Party having access to a lot of Americans' data. Like I said, over 100 million Americans who are apparently using the app 90 minutes per day. Now, the CEO of TikTok is slated to come to the U.S. on Thursday and talk to a whole committee that's been put together to discuss this issue in particular. And I asked you guys how you felt about it on Instagram and on Twitter. I'm going to pull that up and see what you guys had to say. I asked you whether or not you support this move or you don't support the move to ban TikTok. And overwhelmingly, you guys said that you support TikTok being banned. 88% of you on Twitter said you support, as opposed to 12 who said that they don't. And on Instagram, we're looking at 86% saying they support it and 14% saying they don't. Taylor says he supports it.
Supports the ban. Yes, I'm team ban.
Taylor's like, get TikTok out of here. It's rotting young American minds, and the Chinese have our data. I am on the fence on this. I'm not going to lie, because there's a lot of moving parts here, and we're going to talk about these moving parts. One, it is a Chinese-owned company, but I'm going to go out on a strong limb here and say we have a lot of Chinese-owned companies in the United States that have access to all of our data. So TikTok is not standing alone in its influence and in its access, but it is probably one of the largest companies to have such access to United States data. Also, one of the main people who is pushing for this TikTok ban is none other than, you know him in the metaverse, Mark Zuckerberg, who has been on a very long campaign to get TikTok banned by the United States in what I believe to be is hopes of all the people who are surfing TikTok and are creators and are posting on there to move back to Meta, being Facebook and Instagram, and to be creators there. A little bit of evidence to that possible point is that last week Meta announced plans to pause Reels play bonus payments. So if you're creating Reels on any sort of Meta application, you could get paid for those Reels once you've reached a certain status on your account. Now they are rolling back those payments, and I think it's because he's anticipating on TikTok being banned, and he thinks all these creators are going to hop back over to Meta, Facebook, Instagram, you all know. And he's just accepting that that's going to be his fate, that he's going to gain back this consumer base that he has now lost to TikTok, even though Mark Zuckerberg himself is taking all of our American US data and selling it to Chinese companies himself. So I think if we're going to move forward with this ban on TikTok for the sake of protecting Americans from a supposed national security threat, you better do it across the board, and you better hold to account the American businessmen and corporate giants who are doing the very same thing with our data. Do you guys agree?
Okay. Do I make my case now?
You can go for it. There's certainly more to talk about, but yeah, go for it.
No, I mean, when you spell it out in terms of like principles and how we're being hypocritical and all that, I guess it's harder to make the case. But I think about this, you know, my parents lived in Beijing, China for a couple of years, and I went and visited them once. And it is amazing to see just how China operates. I mean, at their apartment building, they have a person who's responsible for reporting to the government everything that happens in the building. Every floor has a person on that floor that's responsible for reporting what happens on that floor to the person who's responsible for the building. There are businesses that are there one day and gone the next. You are completely at the mercy of the party. One day I was walking down the street, there's an art installation there. It was really interesting. It was like this, you know, old Chinese figure who was like being a puppet master to a bunch of little Chinese workers and stuff. And it kind of like sent this weird message of like, maybe this is this artist expressing some, you know, some way of protest of the government. And I walked back in that same park like a day or two later, and that installation was gone. So the Chinese government is just on top of everything. They're everywhere. They have carte blanche with every company that's in their country's purview to make them do whatever the Chinese government wants them to do. Just last year, the U.S. banned 36 Chinese companies from operating in the U.S. because of data's concerns. And I just don't think it's wise to give that large of a beachhead. I don't know how many American users TikTok has. I think we said 100 million. At least that's the daily active users that use it about 90 minutes a day. But just imagine how many more devices it's on. And it's not only the data mining, it's the way that they're able to dictate the algorithm, what's on there, what that's shown to other people. So just all of that, just why would you give and what's also your biggest hostile global threat? Why would you give them a beachhead that large in your company, in your culture, in every American pocket, when there you have grounds to ban this company in the same way that you've banned many other companies that you have? And look, I enjoy TikTok. I'm a confessed TikTok user. And I do understand that there may be some inconsistencies with how we're doing it, but just the scope and scale of the threat that I think it poses just necessitates some sort of focus and action. And I'm partial to, I love the old school Vine days. And so I'm partial to seeing someone like Elon Musk create an alternative that we could all hop onto and not have to worry about our data being banned or the moral implications of using an app that's owned by a company that is beholden to a government that is also dangling the strings in places like North Korea and the sure. Shenzhen province. So there's so many reasons to just cut as many ties and close as many loopholes as we can with China. So
yeah, I find it hard to believe that in this case, banning TikTok alleviates any of the supposed threats that they are pointing to. I honestly think it just diverts them to a new pathway where now, okay, you leave TikTok, so you'll head over to YouTube Shorts and you'll head over to Instagram and Facebook or whatever. And then instead of your data going directly to a Chinese controlled company, Mark Zuckerberg will sell it over to China for you for a hefty price. And that's why he's going through every avenue he can to make sure that this ban goes through for him, for his bottom dollar, really. And as soon as somebody can say to me, yeah, it's going to alleviate a threat beyond just diverting it somewhere else, then you know what? I want to hear you out. I want to know what you have to say. I think it also needs to be recognized that TikTok has opened up a window, not for all, because there are major censorship issues on the platform, but a window that mainstream media and legacy media does not have, and it's a window that cannot be controlled currently by the U.S. government, although they are working diligently to do that. And I do think there are a lot of higher players in the TikTok company that are here in the U.S. and are controlling exactly what it is that you see on that platform as well. But there doesn't seem to be quite as much collusion. When you are finding alternative media sources, like, for example, the Ohio train derailment that happened, where the media wasn't covering it and people were basically saying, oh, it's fine. You know, this happens a thousand times a year, I think is what Pete Buttigieg said. And then you go on TikTok and you see all these people who are posting live footage of what's happening in their backyard, what's happening in their community, the water sizzling as people try to make their coffee and things like that. It's a window that we now have into people's lives to get information that is not the same as the information that the legacy media or that the really American-controlled Twitter, Meta, Instagram, all of these different entities give to you. Although Twitter has, of course, gotten much better since Elon Musk has owned it. I think there's a lot of people who have been used to having a very strong hold on the American mind, consciousness, what it is that you see, you think, and you feel. And they're losing that hold a little bit with TikTok, as we are now getting, you know, instantaneous updates on stories that legacy media can't really keep up with. And if they are keeping up with, they're lying and giving you propaganda. So I sit on the fence. That's where I'm at. I'm on the fence.
Help us out. Where do you fall on this debate? But for what it's worth, the chat looks like you guys are 82-18 in favor of banning TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mic was off, of course. I feel like it's just a meme at this point. Yeah, so I'm pretty much like, I guess I'm kind of on the fence. Ideal situation, a U.S. parent company buys it out.
Right.
And we get to keep the app, but it's run by an American, which I assume would not only alleviate any issues of a security threat, but also probably make the algorithm better, probably reduce censorship, and probably just make things generally better on the app. In terms of being banned without an American buyout, I'm still probably leaning no or on the fence. I think that the issue is just going to be that we import so many things from China already that the same risk applies to all of the other companies that we associate with. So I think you'd have to apply the standard evenly to all of them and not just to this company specifically, especially when it's a company that deals with a lot of speech and information transfer.
Mm. Yeah, I am very curious to see what the CEO of TikTok has to say when he comes to visit on Thursday. So we'll probably keep you posted on this story as it develops. I do want to show this one TikTok of somebody, in my opinion, kind of saying the quiet part out loud as far as the TikTok ban goes. Here's this video on TikTok. Shout out to this creator for sharing it.
No, but the government is saying the quiet part out loud.
Truth is, with 100 million Americans daily on TikTok on an average of 90 minutes a day, This is an issue. I imagine most of you would like your networks to get 90 minutes a day from 100 million Americans. We've got to make sure that we take care of that national security base concern.
Yikes. So if
it's
the
national security, though.
Right. So if the national security concern is that you no longer take precedent as far as where Americans get their information from, then I'm not too convinced by your national security concern. If it's more so that the CCP is harvesting American data and using it nefariously, then I'm on board with your national security concern. But there are so many people with so many different vested interests in this particular movement of banning TikTok that it's just hard to decipher at this point what's up and what's down. So I guess we're going to wait and see. But it looks like there are many steps moving in the direction of banning it. So it could be a platform that's gone. I wonder what that does to our country, because so many people are using that app so often, and it's not necessarily the healthiest thing to do. So we're going to see a strong adjustment there. Where do those people funnel to? I don't know. Maybe YouTube Shorts, although the algorithm is not algorithming yet at the same rate that TikTok is. Neither is Instagram. And, you know, people for the most part on both sides of the aisle don't like Mark Zuckerberg or Meta. So I don't see them, you know, going back to what they left. It'll be interesting to see. I guess a lot of tech giants will have an open space to create some sort of new app. And as Taylor said before, creating, you know, a new Vine, which TikTok was essentially kind of like a new Vine, but like a musically, and then it developed further and further and further to probably something that nobody could have anticipated, which is all types of information free flowing on TikTok. You have music creators, you have gamers, you have political commentary, you have just live footage of different news stories. Everything you could ever possibly want is on TikTok. So what a weird thing if it gets swiped. I know a lot of Americans are just going to download a VPN and keep using it. So I don't know if 100 million of them.
Can we just note the irony too of you defending TikTok from being banned when they've banned you for like the last year? You haven't been able to post.
Yes.
That's true.
Cam and I have both had the same problem. We've been banned probably 50 times on that platform. I just think it does set kind of a strange precedent to ban an app or a website that so many people want, and to just shut that away from what we claim to be as somewhat of a free market. But
you know, Taylor, that's what makes us better than them.
Yeah, there you go. We fight for everybody, not just ourselves.
You're so worried about precedence, but at the same time, you're so black-pilled. You think the whole government's beholden to these elites and special interest type people anyway. So what difference does it make if we have solid precedence or not? Why not just be more pragmatic?
You know, I don't know, Taylor. This is a good point. I'm starting to see their interests as being one and the same. That's why I'm kind of just like, why ban it? Because I know you're just going to sell our data anyways, and I know they already have it. That's the black pill. That is the black pill indeed. I don't know, man. I don't know. I saw a video the other day of Tucker Carlson saying that the government, the NSA, was just like watching his text messages, and they found out what he was going to do because they were watching his text messages that he was having just in a private conversation. And I just find it hard to believe that that's not happening all day, every day. And that they are not using every single avenue that they have to get more data, even if it's not from like a sort of like Patriot Act spying on you and stealing your privacy thing, even if it's not that way, it's just to make you better consumers and to sell to you better and harder. And there's just so much collusion with big tech and big pharma and all these big corporations and the government, and it just going in this endless circle that I just find it hard to believe that they're trying to do anything that's within your best interest. So yeah. Sorry, guys.
On that positive note, what else do we have for today?
On that positive note, let's move on. Speaking of TikTok content that might not be in your best interest, have you guys heard of fat talk? You know, there's black talk, there's art talk, which are just different sectors of TikTok that you can get into. Apparently, there's fat talk, where bigger individuals are making videos about what they eat in a day, talking about the body positivity movement, calling out fat phobia. And here's one of these videos. This is a 16-year-old girl walking through what she eats in a day. And I'm not trying to hate on this girl. Let's just watch the video and we'll see what we find.
I got the bag. Today is gonna be a little different. I'm gonna do what I eat in a day starting at 4 p.m. I got a pretzel and cheese. cheddar pepper I've never tried before. Hot. Really rich in cheddar. Mozzarella stick. Mozzarella stick with marinara. Corn dog with mustard. So keep in mind, I'm sharing all these things with my mom. Say hi, mom.
Hi.
Sprouts. Petco. I got frozen yogurt, tart, strawberries, mango boba, and what's it called? Fruity pebbles.
It's giving a Nikocado avocado. Just keeps going.
This is all one day, right?
This is all one day.
Panda Express. Oh my gosh. First, a cream cheese wrap-in.
More food. More food. I just don't like watching people eat this long. Anyways, you get the gist, right? It's a lot of very unhealthy foods that are being ingested by this individual. And this is now a trend, what I eat in a day, where people are going through and doing this. I told you guys about a TikToker that I found on my For You page that was like, what I eat in the day as a fat B word. And she walks through all of the junk food that she eats all day long. And, you know, these people are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to eat what they're going to eat, and they're probably going to film it because that is the modern day that we're living in. But it is, I think, okay to point out that maybe this is not the lifestyle that you want to have for yourself and certainly shouldn't be incentivized. And unfortunately, it is. There are very few places in the United States where anybody is making headway in just health and wellness. And that should be something that I think we're prioritizing and talking about rather than glorifying and glamorizing. But here we are. And this is what gets millions of views on TikTok. But people flock to what they want, I guess. I don't know what to say about it. People flock to and take in the content that they want, and they eat what they want. I don't know that this girl does not know what healthy food looks like. I think she's well aware of what healthy food looks like and is choosing to make the choice to eat otherwise.
You know, I hear Gen Z says after a TikTok or in response to a tweet or something, they'll say she ate and left no crumbs. But I don't think that that's what they mean in this situation, right?
I don't think so. I don't think that's what that phrase is supposed to mean. But she certainly ate and left no crumbs. Oh, gosh. But Gina Bontempo posted this and said, a 16-year-old shares what she eats in a day. Are we supposed to just pretend like this is normal and fine? And these eating habits are putting a strain. Oh, and fine. And these eating habits are putting a strain on our healthcare system and affecting the future of our country. Is it fat phobic to remind everyone that half of the U.S. is obese? I don't think so. I don't think it's fat phobic to acknowledge that. I think I don't know where you start with something being done about it. It certainly starts with education and where we're making what? We're talking about gender and sexuality in school. Maybe we should replace those conversations with talks about health and wellness and what you should be eating and why it's important to take care of your body and why you won't regret that in the long term. But those are not the conversations we're having. And at the end of the day, it just comes down to education and individual choice and being armed with the critical thinking skills to decipher what is best for you and yours and your body. But in America, that's becoming increasingly difficult. I went to, what is it? What are those cheaper grocery stores called? Like a Smart and Final, I think is what they're called. I went to one yesterday. It was just looking around. I got bored. I went from Target. I went to there. So there was so much processed food everywhere, and for so little money. It's just all over the place, which you'll often hear left-leaning people make the argument of, oh, people who are obese are typically of lower income and they don't have the choice to grab better foods. I don't necessarily believe in that narrative. I think even with a low income, you can eat healthy. You just have to prioritize it, and it becomes something that is a little bit more difficult to do. I will give them that. It's a little bit more difficult to do, but it is something that is achievable. But walking around, it's like out of 1,000 options, 5 of them are healthy. It's just wild.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, it's the easier path to buy the cheap processed foods and have the fast food and stuff like that. But that's not an excuse. And we can't, like, this type of TikTok and this type of whole, like, you know, fat positivity movement, it's ultimately, it's harmful. And it's not reflective of, you know, it's reflective of it. I don't know what it is. Is it like somehow did the woke movement embrace this? Because, you know, we're going to talk about the story of California. They're moving to ban candy. And yet at the same time, the left seems to be friendly to this idea of fat positivity and being, and that eating like this and being like this is somehow being yourself. And it's just a lie. We can't be in a place as a culture where we're glorifying this type of behavior because it's literally killing people. I mean, what was it like 70% of COVID deaths were from associated with obesity in some way, and we know all the negative health outcomes that are associated with this. And so we should not be in a place as a culture and as a society where somebody can just go online and celebrate this and posit it, and everyone's just clapping for it. It's ridiculous. We have to restore some sanity to society and be able to say up is up, down is down, and eating like this is totally unhealthy. And even if it's easier, even if there's lots of processed foods out there, it's easier to make those choices. Do something healthy. Make a conscious choice to do something different for yourself and be healthy, because otherwise you're literally killing yourself.
Yeah, and it's all about education, and it really harkens back to the TikTok conversation that we had. I saw somebody sent a super chat, which we'll dive into later, about the difference between the way TikTok runs in China and the way it runs in the United States. In China, minors who are on TikTok have a time limit for how long they can use the app, and for the most part, they're getting educational content about, you know, how ways that they can serve their country, science and math and English and all these different stuff. That's what they're getting on their TikTok feed because the CCP makes that so. However, in America, we're just getting endless junk and drugs and sexual content and all of these things. And some could use that as an attack on the CCP and say, well, look what they're doing in their country and look at what we're doing in ours, and it must be their fault. I don't view it that way. I mean, I think it's within the CCP's best interest that is the content that we're viewing here in the United States, but it is completely of our own doing. The market reflects what the market wants, and this is what we want in the United States. You guys want endless junk, you want endless sexualization and drugs and all this different stuff, and that's exactly what's going to be fed to you from your app, because they want to make money. So if you're in a country that incentivizes education and having healthy minds for their minors, guess how? They're gonna produce income that way and profit that way and good citizens that way. In America, it seems like we're more concerned with, I don't know, finite pleasures and sitting in comfort. So that is the way that our market responds to things like that. So you could blame the CCP for that, but I kind of blame the United States for that and our own culture.
And this is where your black pill point comes back in, because, you know, why wasn't the being physically healthy and getting sunlight and working out part of the COVID messaging from day one, and yep, something that was prominently pushed? Is because Big Pharma wanted you to get as many jabs as possible, and people in the government were friendly to that because of they're in bed with Big Pharma. And we know that. And so it's difficult when you have it's like you don't want to be in a situation where your society and your culture is engineered from the top down like it is in China. But of course, that has its advantages in situations where you don't want your young minds to be melted by an app like TikTok, and you want people to make healthier, you know, food choices or something, then yeah, you can have top down. But what we should have is leaders who are honest and leaders who put the scientific reality and biological reality and just general science and health things that we know to be true in front of people and lead people with good values and good thinking and healthy habits that apply to everybody, whether it's on the issues like you were talking about with sexuality, with food or whatever it may be. We should have our leadership that is encouraging us to do basic healthy things. But instead, we're not even willing to say the honest truth about these things because why? Either offense or conflicted interests, however you want to slice it. It's just not good. And you can literally see the results of that in the obesity rates in our country and the heart disease being the number one cause of death. So we definitely have some work to do.
Yeah, my understanding when I was younger, like taking civics class and all these different things, is that, okay, you're going to have these corporations and you're going to have these companies. And of course, their interest is profit, and their interest is not necessarily doing what's best for you. Their interest is making you into the best consumer for whatever it is they're pushing as a product. And the government, if a government has any role, is to regulate those corporations and companies and make sure that, yes, they can maintain their interest of profit and competition and all those things, but that you are well equipped to know what your choices are and what the best choices are for you. You know, we all got that government-sponsored food education when we were young, and it was the food pyramid and a whole bunch of BS that is now, well, you look back on, you're like, oh, what is going on there? But that, in some ways, if we're going to expand the government to as big as it is today, that would be their responsibility to go, yes, I know that big pharma and these candy companies and, you know, these fast food chains, they have their corporate interests, they have the profit that they're trying to derive from you, but here's the information that you need to make a proper decision when it comes to these things. And once you've been given the information, once you've seen the man behind the curtain, as they say, then it's your fault where you end up after that point. And there'll be healthy corporations and companies who are creating products that you can flock to if you've gotten the education to do so. But now it's just not like that at all. Now it's like the corporations and companies create their structure for profit. They know what's best for them. Then they tell the government, hey, can you help me out with this? And can you be the bulldog that I need you to be so that we can get the profit on the other end? And once we get that profit, you know, we'll pinch a little bit off the top and we'll hand it back to you to make sure that this system keeps working the way that it works. And now here we are. And you watched that all throughout the COVID pandemic, as Taylor just said, with the vaccines and all this stuff. They just go, ah, here's our structure. Here's how we're going to get the most success based on our metrics. Let's lobby the government and get them to collude with us, essentially. And then we'll just have this synergistic, you know, simpatico relationship where we go back and forth with one another. And it's tragic.
It's much deeper than just collusion, too. Like, the government just, like, dole, especially in the pharmaceutical industry, the government just doles out, like, billions of dollars every single year in grants and subsidies. And
yep.
They put up red tape, prevent competitors from entering the market so that their friends can stay on top. It's terrible.
Yep. And it just continues. And now we've got, what, ESGs that are going to be cycling through our corporations and companies, which is a whole other story for a whole other day. But we won't get to that yet. Now, let's talk about, on the subject of food and health, a California law that could ban the sale of candies like Skittles and Pez. Let's see this. You may no longer be able to taste the rainbow in California. One of the state's lawmakers is proposing a ban on additives used in several candies, including Skittles, Sour Patch Kids, RIP, Pez, and jelly beans, as they are linked to cancer and organ damage and can be harmful to DNA. Additionally, Trident sugar-free gum is at risk of being pulled from the shelves, along with more savory items like Campbell's soup and some bread brands. Quote, Californians shouldn't have to worry that the food they buy in their neighborhood grocery store might be full of dangerous additives and toxic chemicals, reads a statement from the assembly member Jesse Gabriel, whose district is outside of Los Angeles and who proposed the ban in a bill. So this is an interesting conversation, and I think it sparks, maybe, I don't know if it's a philosophical discussion about what can and should be banned, but it does sort of open this up, because many will say, oh, well, you shouldn't ban it, right? Maybe you just have to put on the package that this is carcinogenic and it could alter the DNA so that people have the choice to buy what they want to buy. And if an American wants to use their liberty to go and buy Skittles and Pez or to go on TikTok, they should have every right to do so. They just need a disclaimer as to what this could possibly do to them. And I'm sympathetic to that argument, but also I'm looking at an ever-growing industry of processed foods that are being put on the market day after day, where other countries, like all of the European Union, are striking down on these food companies and saying, no, you can't put toxic chemicals in your food. You can't literally produce things that may taste good, but are going to kill the citizens who are living in our countries. So it's just, I don't know. If you look at what I think what Australia did with cigarettes, where now if you buy cigarettes, they have horrific pictures of what can happen to you. And it says very clearly what the risk is. And I believe we do some of that in America as well. Is that what should happen here? Or would you guys want to see a ban on things like this?
For me, it's a matter of like evidence. And if, you know, I looked at some of the studies that were referenced, or one of the studies that was referenced in this article about, and it was like on mice, and it was not like, it said a proportionate amount of what the mice was exposed to had effects, and it was just reduced its immune system cells or something for a while. Of course, I'm not a scientist. I can't fully parse these things out. But, you know, what you need here is someone you can trust. And we don't have that anymore. We don't have an institution like the CDC or NIH, or they've lost our trust in the last few years. And it's hard to be like, oh yeah, I trust the FDA to, you know, issue appropriate regulations on processed foods and stuff. I'm generally somebody who's very moderate about these things. And I believe that we should have maximum freedom, as long as that people aren't able to take advantage of that to put stuff in our food that is knowingly causing harm to us. So if we can demonstrate that these companies know what they're doing and that they're aware that some of these ingredients have been shown to be harmful and they still put them in there because it's cheaper to process them that way or whatever it may be, then there should be regulation. There should be accountability for that. But you know, like you said, it's a tough conversation, because I think a lot of responsibility also falls to the individual to, you know, if you eat minimal amounts of this stuff, I can't tell you last time I had a pack of Skittles, you know, but if you're already avoiding these heavily processed foods in general as part of your lifestyle, then this isn't going to be a big story to impact you. But there is also the thought that, you know, should every day, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, so to speak, who are going to the grocery store, the Americans, really, do they know what's going through their mind? And is it really on them to have to read the ingredient labels and go through all this stuff? Shouldn't you just have some baseline level of trust in the food that's available at the grocery store? So right. I'm sympathetic to that argument as well. So I don't know. I feel like I said a lot without saying anything, but it's definitely a difficult thing. And I think if it can be shown to be cause harm, then I think it should be regulated, bottom line.
Yeah. And it seems like it is clear. I mean, it's of these ingredients that they're looking at, propylparaben, red dye 3, brominated vegetable oil, which I imagine is in a lot of stuff, potassium bromate, and titanium dioxide. The latter three have already been banned in the European Union. So it seems as though the EU has already done their due diligence here and has decided these things are not allowed in our candies. And these ingredients are present in other items as well. It's not just candy, although this is the focus of this article in particular. And yeah, I just don't know. At the very least, if there's proof to show that this is happening, it should be illustrated somewhere on these packages. Crazy sour Skittles, crazy cancerous Skittles. just so you can see that and you know what you're up to with the put some cancer cells, I guess, on the back next to the recycling symbol that they put on these packages. So, oh gosh.
We're gonna have to ban everything if we just start like banning anything that can harm you. We're gonna have to ban literally everything.
Right.
Even red meat will give you cancer if you eat too much of it. Like,
it's a slippery slope.
I don't know. Like, what's next? Alcohol, cigarettes. Like, these are all things that I should be allowed to ingest as long as it's demonstrated on the packaging that they could harm me if I use them.
Right, and that's what that's where I'm leaning towards, and I guess I'm being consistent because it's the same place that I'm at with the whole TikTok ban here. It sets a very strange precedent, although there are many things that are banned in our foods now by the FDA. But just let people know that this is something that could happen, I think, at the very least.
It looks like the audience is split with us. I asked, do you support California Skittles ban, which is the best way I know how to word this. And 36% say yes. 35 say yes, 35 say no, and 30 say not sure. So it's a sticky issue.
I saw some of you in the comments saying that California's going to start bootlegging Skittles.
Turf wars over Skittles.
Literally, they're going to be coming across the Californian border with Skittles.
Skittles is just going to pivot to being a weed company, and they'll be edible Skittles now.
Yep. And there we are. And then they'll get in because it's profitable. Let's see here. What do we have next? Here is a girl coming to us in a Walmart talking about how they are racist in their protection of certain inventory from shoplifting. Let's hear it.
Okay, so I'm at my local Walmart and I'm just looking at the makeup section and I noticed this. And I'm looking at the concealers and, you know, they're all normal, but then once you get down to the darker shades, they have little security tags all over them, but they don't for the lighter colors. So Walmart, tell me that you're racist without actually saying that you're racist.
So the lighter tones of foundation do not have security tags on them in the Walmart, but the darker ones do. And I've seen something similar to this in, I believe, a CVS or a Walgreens, where everything in the body and like hygiene aisle was put behind security glass except for sunscreen. And I think you guys can figure out why that's kind of funny, but some might see that as racist. Although I do want to go ahead and point out that I think big corporations and companies and even small businesses like these keep inventory of what gets stolen or what is taken out of the store without being purchased. So if they can't account for those little serial numbers being scanned and they don't have the money in the register for what is gone, those are the things that they're going to protect. And it's probably within their best interest not to put security labels on things that are not being stolen, because that is extra money out of their pockets that is unnecessary. So if they are putting security tags on darker foundation or leaving everything but sun block it's protected, it's probably because those things are being stolen. So I don't know what else to say.
Them's the facts. Yeah, we did a poll. 80% of you are saying that Walmart is not racist for this. And, you know, it's the same logic as in if it's October 2001 and you get randomly selected by TSA because you're wearing a turban. It's like, well, sorry, but we just got bombed or had planes fly into buildings by the terrorists who are from Afghanistan. So, you know, it's not necessarily racist. It's just using the data available to make adjustments and take prevention measures that reflect the data that we have, so that everybody doesn't have to be subject and every product doesn't have to be on that just for the sake of appearances. Because the alternative is what? Either you let the theft happen rampantly to every product, or you have to lock down every single product. And so this is the most practical solution.
Yep. If it weren't happening, they wouldn't do it. Do you think they want to pay more money to secure the things that they're putting in their stores? Do you think they want to pay the extra, I don't know how much money, it's probably a lot of money, it's millions of dollars if we're talking about all Walmarts where this is happening. Maybe, yeah, just unfathomable amounts of money to secure these things in their case. Do you think that Walmart workers want to be asked every 5 seconds to walk down five aisles to give you a bottle of shampoo? No. Do you think I, as a consumer, want to do that? I get pissed off. I go to Target and I'm like, oh, I just want to get nails, like my little fake nails that I do every now and then that you guys don't even like, but I do them anyways. But I go to Target to get them and I'm like, wow, this is secured here. So now I have to find a Target worker in LA in this big ass Target to come around to pull these off. And they're like $5.99. You guys are pissing me off. Okay. You're making my life less convenient.
Do we also think that they just want to spend all of this extra money just so they can be racist too?
Yeah.
And literally get called out?
Yeah. We want to show how much we hate black people, and therefore we are going to spend money in order to do so.
Millions just to do it.
So we can give you a visual representation and a nod to just how racist we are, even though it just doesn't matter. You guys get it. I don't need to hark on that point anymore. The video was dumb and irrational. And the girl was just looking to virtue signal. Here's another story, though. New York Post says, pantry porn, a trend rooted in racist, sexist behavior, says Loyola professor. If you've ditched cereal boxes for uniform glass containers and opted for plexiglass storage bins in your fridge, you may be engaging in classist, sexist, and racist behaviors, one Chicago professor contends. Dr. Jenna Drenton, I wonder what she's a doctor in. I hope it's not like anything actually valid. I'm sure it's critical race theory or critical race feminism or something like that. An associate professor of marketing at Loyola University argued Tuesday that the recent obsession with organizing kitchen and pantry spaces, a TikTok trend she dubbed pantry porn, is pushing societal standards that the average American cannot keep up with while tricking consumers into spending more money. The new minimalism approach is just a thinly veiled excuse to entice people to buy more items, containers, labels, and storage space that give off a decluttered appearance of simple living, says Drenton. Quote, storing spices in coordinated glass jars and color coordinating dozens of sprinkles containers may seem trivial, but tidiness is tangled up with status and messiness is loaded with assumptions about personal responsibility and respectability. She goes on to say, cleanliness has historically been used as a cultural gatekeeping mechanism to reinforce status distinctions based on a vague understanding of niceness. Nice people with nice yards in nice houses make for nice neighbors. What lies beneath the surface of this anti-messiness, pro-niceness stance is a history of classist, racist, and sexual social structures. Oh, that was a mouthful, guys. I barely got through it because I can't read. But look at this pantry picture. Are you guys looking at it? Can you see it? This organization is apparently classist, racist, and sexist. Can you guys figure that out? Because I'm having trouble. And again,
she said, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it reminds me of the video of that fat, positive girl that we watched where she said, if you want to be skinny, you're just increasing your proximity to whiteness. And if you care about fitness and the way your body looks, you're just increasing your proximity to whiteness. And again, what a slap in the face to people of color that you think organizing your pantry and making it look beautiful or buying extra stuff makes you racist and sexist and classist. Oh, Lord.
And I was going to say, she said messiness is loaded with assumptions. It's like, who's making those assumptions? The only person I see you making assumptions that are associating messiness with race is you. So race or class is her. She's the one that's dividing the issue and saying that poor people and black people are messy and people further away from whiteness are disorganized and don't have clean pantries. But people, that's, you're the one who's being racist in this situation by putting all these assumptions into this conversation. No one else said anything about that. People are just organizing their pantries on TikTok. And which, by the way, no one said that everyone who's organizing their pantries on TikTok is white. I'm sure there's plenty of other people of other races who are doing this. So this is that classic, you know, it's not whether racism occurred, it's where did racism occur. And if you look in the situation deep enough, you'll find racism if you're looking for it. And that's exactly what people of this ilk do, especially in academia. You got to know it's coming. They're just going to, it's literally called grievance studies for a reason, because you're looking for a grievance in literally everything. And that's where you see, what was it, the woman who made cowboy caviar on TikTok, and everyone, then you get the cultural appropriation police, because you're not calling it the original name that the Hispanic people who invented it are called it. And it's like, it just never ends looking for grievances. And it's such a wretched way to live.
Yeah, just give me a break. And she says, the people who do this are predominantly white women to demonstrate what it looks like to maintain a nice home by creating new status symbol, the perfectly organized, fully stocked pantry. You know what? If you don't like it, don't do it. It's as simple as that. They like it. They do it. They post a video about it on TikTok. You deem it pantry porn and call it racist and sexist. If you don't like it, do not do it. They're not creating a new standard. It's not like every pantry has to look like this. I can't even believe I'm talking about this. Can't even believe it. If
Aaron said, I'm white and my pantry's a hot mess.
Well, apparently that makes you black. So welcome to the club. We're now in the same boat. It's just ridiculous. I just cannot believe it. We're going to move on here. I don't have anything else to say about this. This guy, we'll touch on these last two stories very quickly, cut off his dad in what is now a viral email that he sent to his family members, because his dad is a Republican and plans on voting forward the GOP. I want to see if I can zoom in on this so we can read this a little better. Oh, I don't think so. Let's see. Okay, so it says, hi family, last night on a phone call with dad, he commented that he was still a Republican. I asked, quote, even after Republicans are trying to recriminalize homosexuality across the United States, end quote. Yes, he said. As such, it is now necessary for a family email so that expectations are set to everyone, regardless of voting affiliation. Hear me clearly. You cannot vote for the GOP and continue to have a relationship with me. No exceptions. I am inviting no dialogue and I have no interest in nuance. And I don't think we even need to read any more of this email because he just exposed himself there. I am not inviting dialogue and I have no interest in nuance. Unbelievable. So this guy posted this and said, update, 100% family agreement. Hold folks accountable, especially the ones you love, and do it with the passion you'd have preventing a drunkard from driving. It's a public health and safety issue. Oh, the entitlement is just so very real. Not only are you entitled to your own opinion, which you are entitled to others' opinions. And if they cannot shapeshift their opinions to fit your agenda, then you cut them off. And this person's dad responded and said, "This is your dad," which is such a dad thing to say in a text. "This is your dad. Stop your vicious words. This is not about homosexuality. I have friends who are gay and a brother who I support, loved," and the text goes on, but it's cut off. Probably cut off because it's a generally nice message about how he doesn't hate gay people. So he posted this thinking that this was a big W for him and that he was going to win. And somebody responded and said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Your parents gave you life. Show some effing respect. My dad is still a registered Democrat. I, his gay son, am a Republican. No one cares. He is 91 and I would cut off my arms and legs if it would make him even a few years younger so that we could have more years together. People like you who are so lucky and don't even know it make me sick. Willing to throw away the only people biologically programmed to like you because your low information cultist self can't tolerate cracking open your echo chamber an inch to, God forbid, witness different opinions. You'd rather cosplay Nazi genocide because it gives you purpose and brings some misguided excitement to your basic humdrum existence." He goes on to say, "Love, one of the nearly 1 in 3 gay Americans who vote Republican. P.S. Nobody wants to murder you, except maybe the people who have to be around your insufferable ass. Can't claim them. Your dad deserves better." But there is a point to be made here. It's clear in that text message that his dad is saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I don't hate gay people, right? I just agree with Republicans more than I agree with Democrats. And that's the way that I'm voting. And that's okay." And would probably still want to maintain a relationship with this guy. But he thinks it's a W to not only just dog on his dad and his political beliefs, but send an entire email to his family saying that he's going to ostracize them if they don't vote the way that he wants them to. And that's a win for you? That's really sad. It's just very sad.
It's like cult-like behavior to issue this kind of statement and to treat your family like this. Isn't it one of the markers of being in a cult when it seeks to cut you off from your family? But exactly, only someone who's engaged in like such a rigid ideology would ever think to do this. And you can tell just by looking at the person's profile. I got it pulled up right now. Their Twitter bio is queer supremacy, I sneak cheese, bipolar, married to the sea, NSFW, ACAB, which all cops are bastards, BLM, abortion on demand, cheers, trans flag, beer emoji, DM welcome. So
gosh,
just in case you needed some signals for where this guy stands and how he thinks, that's, and this is why it's become the running joke on Twitter to just quote tweet someone who says something crazy or says something crazy to you and comes after you and just quote tweet them and say pronouns and bio. Because as soon as you know that they have pronouns and bio, you know that they're one of these types who's just a complete ideologue who's doesn't think in terms of reality, the real world, is a sensible person who's interested in nuance or interested in having a conversation. They're not. And that's like what Amelie, you said on the Cam Haines podcast you were on recently, like, how do you avoid, how do you know when to engage with someone in an argument? You say, ask them a question. Is there any amount of evidence or any amount of logic that I could bring to bear in this conversation that would persuade you to a different point of view? And if they say no, you're dealing with someone who's an ideologue and the conversation's over before it starts.
And he said it. I don't care for disagreement and hearing out the disagreements, and I have no interest in nuance. That's all you needed to hear. Ideologue, done, boom, done with him. And guys, don't cut off your family. I know we're not the ones who are doing that anyways, but just in case you are, don't cut off your family because they have different political opinions than you do. I promise it's not that deep, and you guys can still maintain a relationship. While I'm pulling up Super Chats, we're just going to play this little St. Paddy's Day video that we always get around to every year of a leprechaun sighting. So,
well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Creighton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Creighton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in a tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah? Yeah!
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead who got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. Yeah. I just came to help out. Irish.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
I love
People
that.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. I mean.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. Do you guys remember when news was good? This was NBC. Do you guys remember that? When we were actually getting true stories about leprechauns and trees? Could be a crackhead. Got hold of the wrong stuff.
Yeah, this was the biggest white pill I could have gotten today. It just gives me hope for humanity that stuff like this still exists.
Yeah, and you better believe we're going to play this every year on St. Paddy's Day that we're live. We will play this every year for your viewing pleasure. Could be.
And you posted that South Park clip on your story as well. That's annual viewing on St. Patrick's
Day
too. Yes,
you
got to
check that out on my Instagram story. It's the little clip of Butters on St. Patty's Day, because Butters loves St. Patty's Day, and he's dressed out in all green, and he goes up to this girl in school, and he's like, "You're not wearing green," so he pinches her, and then he gets arrested for sexual assault, which is so 2023, by the way. But Butters gets arrested, and he's like, "I'm so sorry. I just did it because she deserved it on account of what she was wearing." And everybody just freaks out on it. It's like, "Oh, you're horrible. Disgusting." But yeah, that is St. Paddy's Day today. I don't think you can pinch people on St. Paddy's Day anymore. Unless you want a
America's
problem.
America's just going to hell.
It's just going to hell. If you can't pinch people, we're done here, brother. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Darn liberals.
You also have your other St. Paddy's Day recommendations, don't you, Taylor?
Oh, yeah. So I thought about this because Sabrina, our colleague, sent me a video today, or like a text today, where she was watching the Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where Charlie catches a leprechaun. So that's another classic one if you're an Always Sunny fan. And then there's The Luck of the Irish on Disney, back the Disney Channel original movie from the 90s or early 2000s that is also a classic. So I don't know if you guys have any other appointment viewing annual St. Patrick's Day clips or shows, put them in the chat.
Right. Gonna go get your shamrock shakes, which sounds so gross. I'm not gonna lie. Just sounds gross. Done. Okay. To super chats, Text Fraud, thank you for your super chat. TikTok is just overrated musically. Well, it basically is musically. You know what? I don't know. Musically sucked. TikTok has a lot of stuff on it. Musically was pretty bad. If I want to just watch somebody like dance and lip sync, I don't know. If I get to that point in life, I'm just gonna duck out. It's my time. So yeah, I think TikTok's a little better than Musical.ly. Next, Sup My Dude says, I absolutely despise TikTok. Absolutely mindless entertainment with little to no artistic value nor integrity. Be gone, TikTok, you piece of crap. You know, I go back and forth on it because the algorithm shows you what you want for the most part. If you wanted just purely educational content, like if you wanted to hear from people learn how to code watching TikToks, you could learn how to code watching TikToks. If you wanted to hear from engineers about how their job works or whatever, you get that on TikTok. There's a lot of information, but a lot of it is mindless crap. Just depends on what you're feeding yourself. Flynn Vassen says, "Did you pray for me? LOL. Keep up the great vids." He's checking in on you, Taylor.
Holding me accountable. You know what? Actually, we were going to bed the other night. And my wife was like, "You need to pray for that guy." And so she held me accountable too. And so I did say a quick prayer for you. But I don't know. It's kind of weird that this is happening through super chats, both the accountability and the request, because I feel like I'm being paid to do this and it's raising some strange moral questions. So maybe we need to find another way to have this prayer relationship.
We'll figure it out. We'll work out the kinks in that one. V, thank you for your super chat. Did you hear more about Eureka McCray, the Safeway diversity champion who ran black supremacist Twitters and threatened this employee who reported it? No, I remember you sending a super chat for that. One moment, actually. Let's actually look into this right at this very moment. Eureka McCray, Albertson Safeway. I gotta tell you, I don't keep up with Albertsons and Safeway news. But I didn't see this story. I'm missing out. You know what I used to really love about Albertsons? Their chocolate chip cookies. And I haven't had one in a fat minute. Let me see. You know, there's not a lot of news on this, brother. Or sister. Don't want to misgender you. It's a big no-no. I'm looking up diversity. Maybe Taylor, if you look it up on your end, I'm not seeing any like headlines about it. Is this a story that you yourself are aware of? And has it been reported on?
Dicks and Butts. I seem to remember a story about this years ago. But anyways, yeah, we'll have to go back to it.
Dicks and Butts send in a super chat. Of course. Appreciate you for that. TikTok itself shouldn't be banned. All data mining outside of the app needs to be banned for all social media and other apps. Yeah, I guess the Biden administration did, or some sort of outside company, or the company itself is talking about safeguarding data instead of, you know, going through this whole deal of trying to sell it to an American parent company. They're like, if we can get the data safeguarded, will that fix the problem that we're having now? So we'll find out more next week when the CEO comes and they have their whole conversation. Stubby Juan Kenobi, thank you for your super chat. Don't you worry about the difference between what China pushes to its citizens versus what Americans get? We did cover this. I mean, I worry in the sense that American culture has deteriorated, not in the sense that the Chinese are purposefully making it happen here. I just think that's you are what you eat, right? And that's what we're eating, willfully, just like that girl in the TikTok that we watched. Adam, thank you for your super chat. There's a reason they banned TikTok in their own country. The ruining of American minds at an alarming rate alone is more than a reason to ban this app. Best foreign attack on American soil ever. Well, it's not technically banned in China. It's just healthier in China. So you can still use TikTok and watch it, although everything is controlled in China. And I'm not sure that that's something we want to advocate for as far as the content that you get. I don't think you can even look up a picture of Winnie the Pooh in China anymore because it's been used as reference for their great and all-powerful master and leader. So it is a slippery slope. And if you got rid of TikTok, right, if it's banned tomorrow and the Biden administration makes this happen, you best believe there's going to be another TikTok in like 2 seconds because it's what Americans want. It's not like the Chinese just created TikTok and went, we will brainwash them into wanting to use an app like this and to feed themselves junk food. No, they just said, here's an app, you guys like it? And we're like, hell yeah, I wish we had 10 more of these. And you better believe an American's just going to recreate it and you're going to get the same content regardless. It's just where we're at right now. Albatross, thank you for a very large super chat. We appreciate you. Amala, I'm a big fan and have been listening since day one of Will and Amala. I really get to watch live. Here's the sum of all my super chats I would have given you along the way. Keep it up, the good work. Thank you so very much. We really appreciate you. And I'm so glad that you finally got to catch alive and that you've been watching since Will and Amala. That's OG. OG, back when shelves were falling off the wall. And so here we are now. We've come a long way. James Mann, thank you. Amala, still a huge fan of you and Taylor. Keep up the good work informing people. Hope to see you do more videos with Gothics. She will be back. We are in contact. We could have her back. Flynn Vassen says, I downloaded TikTok and didn't use it. I also don't go around letting people know what I do all day. That's just weird to me. I don't see the point.
Okay. Based.
Different strokes for different folks. Based. Adam, isn't that more of a reason to block the foreign influence then? They find a weakness in our culture, exploit it. Why wouldn't we seek to block it? I agree. It's an American cultural weakness. I don't know. What's the difference between...
That's more my...
Taylor's take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're like, don't want China to do that.
Let's at least close the door to do it to her. If we're going to go down, let's go down because we screwed ourselves up, not because we let someone backdoor their way into our country and you know, compromised us. So,
yeah, I mean, fair enough. There's so many Chinese companies here. This iPhone was probably made in China. So they really want my data and all the things that they could use to destroy my life, they've probably got it. If not, Mark Zuckerberg, Zuckerberg will sell it to them. Let's see. Just Jen reacts. I was just on Jeffrey Marsh's YouTube channel. Oh my gosh, please check it out and keep helping expose this dude. He is a pure predator. Thank you for exposing him already, but it just gets worse on YouTube, I'm sure. We've been watching Jeffrey Marsh videos for quite some time on this channel in particular, so I have no doubt that it gets worse the more you watch. But yeah, we will keep talking about it, most definitely. M1U, thank you for your super chat. Thank God I never downloaded TikTok at all. All it did was crank up cancer culture up to 11. I think you meant cancel culture, or you meant cancer culture. Honestly, same. They're both the same. Continue doing God's work. Chadmala. I think it meant, she meant to put Amala, and it just
auto-corrected. Chadmala. Chad, maybe it's like she's calling you a Chad.
Oh, I'll take that too. There's a lot of different references. We're getting cancer culture, Chadmala. I like it. I like the direction we're going in. Faith Scarrett, thank you. I deleted TikTok. Honestly, the TikTok content that I wanted to watch gets reposted to platforms with better privacy settings, and I feel less like the CCP is spying on me. Also, love your show. Love that for you, Faith. Keep doing you, girl. It's a fair point. A lot of the stuff that goes viral on TikTok does go viral on other platforms about 2 weeks later, but still goes viral nonetheless. Let's see. Next one is from Flynn. No, Manikyla. And I always say your name wrong. Sorry. Work in workplaces is not much physical as it used to be in old times in factories, harbors, farms, woods, etc. It is one reason why there is obesity. So yeah, not as many people are doing manual labor. That is certainly true. A lot of people are just sitting at home now, just on their phones and laptops. But come on, it does make you feel better to just get around the town. Go outside for like 30 minutes a day and see what it does for you. I bet it will change your life in some way, shape, or form. Mankyla says, if you live in a house with a yard, you can do physical work when doing gardening and other work in the yard. That way you can keep physical strength so you don't need expensive gym memberships. Yeah, I have a gym membership and I have stuff at home. I just bought those little Bowflex, what are they called?
Dumbbells.
Couldn't think of the terminology there. I just bought those. They're pretty cool. So I've been working out both at the gym and at home. Adam says, 1970 to 1975, the year that American obesity started increasing dramatically, nonstop since. Also, the year fast food and fast food ads first became widely available. I'm a libertarian at heart, but ... The math is mathing, Adam. The math is mathing indeed. That does make sense. It is pretty quick to just go into a McDonald's drive-thru and get what you... I don't want to say what you need, but get what you want. My one you... Thank you. Says, of course, they will lock up what's being stolen often. Cap'n promoted to Admiral, obvious. Yes, it is obvious. They do inventory, guys. Walmart doesn't just, you know, frivolously throw security locks on black items. Goodness. Next is from Marcin Laskowick. Thank you for your super chat. No message, but I appreciate you. Adam says, the left really thinks that minorities are stupid and messy, and that's just their nature. So amazingly lacking in self-awareness. Yeah, I think people say those things, and they say it so confidently. Like being fit is proximity to whiteness, or being clean is proximity to whiteness. And they don't realize what it is they're saying when they say that. It's actually quite offensive. Alfredo Orquiz. Thank you. Regarding the pantry porn, I thought we were all on board with reduce, reuse, and recycle. I don't know that we're all on board with that. I do like to reduce, reuse, and recycle, but who am I to tell somebody they can't put their spices in little glass containers and label them if that's what they want? You know, the Emily Maricos of the world, for those of you who are on TikTok. To each their own, Charlize their own. That's where I'm at on that. Mind Yo Business says, from Canada here, have you guys heard about the Chinese interference going on in Canada right now? I don't know. It's quite a broad question. I don't know in particular. I would need definitely more details. I will certainly Google it and look into that. But I'm sure there's those meddling kids are meddling all over the world. All types of countries, everywhere. Text Fraud says, well, 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 looks like the very inclusive community isn't very inclusive. Who would have thought? Isn't that always the case? The people who are the loudest about what they are often not that thing at all. Adam, thank you, says, here's one converse. If I had a family member that was one of those unalive, all white people, video making types, I would cut that off. I suppose it's about relative perception. Yeah, I mean, I would try to talk to them. Be like, yo, this whole racist white genocide thing is kind of alarming. I need you to maybe try to do something about that. And I guess at a certain point, yeah, you would have to maybe cut that person off. Not maybe, maybe that's not the person you want at the Thanksgiving dinner table. I guess it is relative. Anna Puppy says, Taylor, can you tell me where you got that hat? It's fire. Love you guys. You are my go-to.
Oh, yeah, it's from a company, I think, called the Bow Rack. And it's, I got it from Cameron Haynes. So if you look up Cameron Haynes Bow Rack, you should be able to find it.
Go check it out. That's in Eugene, Oregon. Roswell 1983 said, why did the trans man eat salad? Because he was a herbivore. New Taylor would appreciate that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. Worth it.
Well done.
M1U says, that Twitter bio made my brain go from 5 gigahertz to 1 kilohertz. This text speak is going over my head. Oop, there goes my microphone. Did you guys understand that? I did not.
From a lot of capacity to a little bit, or a lot of speed to slow speed.
Perfect. Thank you so much for explaining that to me in small brain terms. I appreciate it. Text Fraud says, Amala, say the thing. That's embarrassing. How are you not embarrassed, please? Are you talking about the TikToks? That's embarrassing. How are you not embarrassed? Are you embarrassed? Got to bring out my Nigerian accent for that. I think that's what you're talking about. If not, I'm embarrassed because
we all appreciated that. Anyways.
Why are you gay? You are gay. Alfredo Orquist says, Taylor, I will pray for you. I would ask for your last name, but I'm pretty sure God will know if I say Taylor from Unapologetic.
Yeah, he's got that figured out. Thanks.
He's got it. AJ Manol says, please do a story on the effed up origin of the term cis. Man, I posted something yesterday where I said, I'm not cis, I'm just a woman. And people loved that. It went like pretty viral on YouTube community, and it did really well on Instagram as well. So you guys seem to be on the same page as far as not wanting to be called cis, which I appreciate. Zeke Sutton says, I'm not worried about the data mining. I'm more worried about the algorithms they can push forward. You give them access to manipulate normal Americans. Oh yeah, baby. We've been manipulated. Yeah, we're done. You guys should watch a documentary called The Creepy Line. I talk about it a lot on the show, but it specifically is in reference to Google and the amount of power they have over what you see and how it can influence elections and just the choices that you make every single day. Wild, and they can do it without bias being detected. And if you don't think they're already doing that, wake up, baby, wake up. This is your wake up call, okay? They are already doing it. You're being manipulated. And I think that's it. Did I get all this?
There's comments? A couple more I got. Okay. I think we missed one from Adam that said, caring about organization and cleanliness is racist. Duh.
Duh.
Obviously.
So is perfection and objectivity and all these other, and being on time, all racist.
Such whiteness, math, all of it. Flynn says, does based mean based in reality?
And it can mean. Yeah, I think that's where it actually came from, isn't it? I don't know. I've heard people say that.
I think it's just like based as in like it's got a good base. It's founded. It's well, yeah. It's well established. That's how I used it at least, but what do I know? Lex says, this one's for Taylor. Did texts like the Book of Enoch change the way you view the Bible? I think I've gone down the Book of Enoch rabbit hole once before, but generally no. I had my whole deconstruction phase and went down the rabbit hole of how the books of the Bible were selected and all of that. And I found some satisfying answers. So that I don't really struggle or with, you know, needing to go outside of that for other mind-changing things. So that's my answer to that. Bork says, hello from Romania. I enjoy watching you guys. Thank you.
Yo, all the way from Romania. Cool.
Right. Matt says, can I see your arm tat? I love the show.
Taku, can you see it? Is that a good view of it? Yeah, it's just Haku, my little water dragon. It's hanging out.
Hanging out. Someone said they love your poster too. Yeah, Oatmeal says, I love your Studio Ghibli poster.
Thank you. That was gifted to somebody who works here at PragerU and our design team. Shout out to Alex Jimenez, who gave me that poster because he knows how much I love the whole franchise. So, yeah.
Yeah, Mind Your Business is back. Says, did you get this one? CSIS, our spy agency, has been leaking intelligence on Chinese interference at all levels of government in Canada.
Oh, no, I didn't. Surprise.
I mean, those spy balloons, it went across all of America. Probably one went across Canada, too.
They really did. Who even knows how much information they already have? They've got everywhere. Canada, Africa, the United States, South America, everywhere. Guys, everywhere.
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 Flynn says, Taylor, if you want to talk on Discord, I'll do that. All right, message me on Discord. It's been a while since I've been on, but I got to get back on there. So it's a good reason. And then this is the last one I see. Text fraud says, yes, you did. Made my day. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, glad we made your day. And one more from Robin. Dems are going to invoke war to stay in power. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't want any war invoking. Although, I don't know that I've not heard a Democrat try to invoke war necessarily. I could see they're maybe fanning the flames of divide, certainly. But I have heard, I'm not going to, you've heard the Republicans who are like, we want a national divorce or whatever. That's kind of, it's kind of crazy. There's some Looney Tunes on both ends of the spectrum. I know some of y'all might not like to hear that, but Lex said, I heard there was even Chinese police in Canada as well. Could very well be. You know, it's all becoming a big old globalist modge podge. That's where we're at right now. Like I said, I'm blackpilled on this whole thing. I don't know. I don't know where we go from here, guys. But just turn on your critical thinking skills. Another one from AJ Minnell. Please cover the fact that the term cis was invented by pro-pedophilia sexologist in 1991, Volkmar Sigist. I've never heard that name before. I will have to.
I hadn't heard that one. You know, I had heard of, I just went down the John Money rabbit hole the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Right up on that. And he's the guy who came up with gender identity and popularized that term. And he said some things that were apologist for pedophilia as well. And he transitioned an intersex guy who, well, he wasn't even intersex, like this little kid, baby was born that had a damaged penis during circumcision. And he raised that baby or influenced that baby to be raised as a girl. And that person ended up committing suicide at age 38. And this is the guy who like helped originate this entire ideology. So this stuff where there's a lot of smoke, you know, there's fire.
They also did sexual experiments on babies to find out stuff. Oh gosh, it's just actually horrible when you go down the rabbit hole of these things. It's almost always. It's crazy. Another one from Jonathan Lee. Have you heard about Mississippi trying to pass the Jim Crow law? No. Gosh. Ooh. I don't know what that means. What is, do you know? Cam sounds like he knows. I heard it as soon as I heard the Jim Crow law. I'm like, there's no, it's
a scare tactic. They basically what happened is in Jackson, they just expanded the Capitol Police Force so that it has jurisdiction in more of the Capitol. And also they switched their judicial system so that judges that were previously elected are now appointed, which is literally how we deal with almost all other judges that aren't on the local level. They're always appointed. And they're saying that is Jim Crow.
Why? Basically.
Yeah, it's literally just those two things. The judicial system changed and the Capitol Police jurisdiction expanded, which obviously there was police in that jurisdiction before. It's just now under the jurisdiction of the Capitol Police.
Yeah, I just don't understand how that constitutes Jim Crow at all.
They're saying that because Jackson is mostly black and the cops are mostly white, that it's Jim Crow, but it's not, you know, it's the obvious insinuation with Jim Crow is, well, people are going to be like using segregated utilities and they're going to be beaten in the streets and they're not going to be allowed to go to certain restaurants. And
anytime I hear it, I'm just like, it's a buzzword. And it's never means what they're saying when you go in and look into it. And Jonathan Lee seconds that, apparently, says, thank God, I for real got worried. Thank you. You see what the power of words, how powerful words are? And you can just label something. It's kind of like what they did with the Don't Say Gay bill, where it had nothing to do with that whatsoever, but it got labeled as such. And now that's the only thing that anybody ever talks about when they're talking about Florida. Just a travesty. Wonderful Weird One says, have you heard about Bill C-11? I certainly hope it won't come to pass. Is this in Canada? I Googled.
Also, is that a pun? Come to pass? See what you did there.
As a bill aimed at promoting Canadian content on digital platforms reappears before the House of Commons, some worry about how it could affect digital content creation. I'll have to read about this. It seems like it's going to go. It aims to regulate digital streaming platforms such as Netflix, YouTube, and Spotify in the same way as broadcasters by requiring them to create a certain percentage of Canadian content and make it accessible to Canadian users. I cannot speak
Canada
on this
first.
Quite yet. Canada first. I'll have to read into this more. Seems like we got a lot of Canadian viewers today. Howdy.
Me?
I'm sorry.
Thanks for watching, eh?
Yeah. Just trying to... A boot. Maple
syrup. Hope you enjoyed
syrup.
Everything we talked about.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. This is where we're going to close out today. It is Friday, so we hope you do have a beautiful, fantastic weekend. Have lots of fun. I'm not doing anything too special this weekend, but we do have some content lined up for you to go out Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, I don't really have anything special this weekend, but I'll keep you posted. If there is anything, you guys will be the first to know what's going on. Guys, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And if you'd like to win a mug plus some stickers with my face on it and a little personal letter from me, sign up for our email list and newsletter by going to the link in the description down below. We will pick 10 of you and send this directly to your door so that you can enjoy it. Sip your coffee, tea, warm milk for all you weirdos out there who are doing that out of your unapologetic mug. Guys, thanks so much for watching. Do all those chores I just gave you. And we'll be back on Monday. Peace out.